When I grew up, I had the opportunity to do something that kids don't really have the opportunity to do today. I had the opportunity to play all four of the major sports. And for Texas, that meant football in the fall, it meant basketball in the wintertime, and it meant baseball and track and field in the spring. And I was able to play all those sports and had a lot of fun doing it. But one of the things that kind of happened when I was playing all those games and all that, I could tell when my dad was there and when he wasn't. Baseball was a little bit easier because I could look over and see if he had driven the old station wagon and parked it there. And I knew that if he was there, he was going to be in the back row, standing, wearing his fedora hat, and he was going to be saying something to the umpire. My father had been a kind of a semi-pro ref and a basketball ref and a semi-pro umpire, and he had all kinds of things to say to these umpires. And of course, where he was standing, I'm sure he could see what was going on. But the worst thing was the basketball games, because you're inside and you are in a gym and everything's loud. And I remember one particular game, my dad was really, really taking this ref to task. If you kind of did that today, they would kindly escort you out of the gym. But they didn't want to do that to Reverend Dean, I guess. So that would have been an interesting story to tell. And his big issue was not that the ref was making a wrong call, but that the ref was out of position. He wasn't in position. My dad was yelling at, you got to get in position. You've got to get yourself in position so you give yourself a chance to make the right call. And he told me either later that day or sometime that week, he goes, Paul, it's all about being in position. If you can't be in position, if you're not going to be in position, you're not going to give yourself an opportunity to make the right call. You still make the wrong call, but if you're in position, you've given yourself a chance to make the right call. We have two stories of women that we're going to unpack a little bit today. One was read from the Gospel of Mark about the hemorrhaging woman, and the other one is we continue through the book of Ruth. And as we continue through the book of Ruth, we remember the book of Ruth started out with a famine in the land, and there's a woman named Naomi. She was married and had two sons. They didn't have food, so they had become immigrants into a different land, hoping to find food and hoping to find generosity. And in this foreign land, as aliens and immigrants, they found food. They stayed there for 10 years, and both of her sons were married. And then tragedy strikes, and we don't really know what happened, but Naomi's husband dies, and her two boys die. And so now there are three widows. There's Naomi, there's a daughter-in-law named Orpah, and a daughter-in-law named Ruth. And three widows who are not in position at all to be cared for. And so Naomi's going to try to get herself back into position. So she sends her daughters-in-laws back to their go back to your families where you can be in position to get help. But Ruth says, no, I'm not. I'm going to go with you wherever you go. I'm going to be with you wherever you are. Your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. Wherever you die, I will be there. I'll be buried right next to you, that beautiful promise. And so Naomi and Ruth make that journey back. They make that journey back to Bethlehem to try to get in position. But something's happening with Naomi. In her grief, she's stuck in the house where they found shelter. And she doesn't even see the promise that's right in front of her, that's Ruth. But Ruth is a promise. Ruth has made a promise. And so Ruth does what promises do. Promises act. They act. And so Ruth begins to act, and Ruth begins to get up out of the house, and she goes into a local field to glean food, to take some of the leftover food that the farmers would intentionally leave in their fields, or they're supposed to, that's what God had asked them to do, so that people who needed produce and needed food, this is kind of wheat and barley, but they needed food, they could come along and they would glean food so they could have something to eat in their own house. Now, when I was a kid, we did exactly that. I was one of eight. We were eating our way through everything my parents could bring home. And as a local pastor, wasn't a career move for financial means. And so what happened for us is that there would be what I thought were anonymous, but they weren't because my parents knew who they were, but as a kid I thought they were anonymous, bushels of beans. There would be bushels of corn. There'd be potatoes. We'd have probably 15 or 16 watermelons sitting in the garage all summer long waiting for us to eat them, and we would. And then there would be fresh baked bread every Saturday morning sitting on our doorstep. And then we would also go out into the fields. We would go pick extra corn. We'd go pick extra potatoes. We would go through all of the different farmers and pick out strawberries and pick out tomatoes just to make ends meet. We go down to the valley, which is an area between the border of Texas and Mexico, and we would get bags of onions from the ground. We would climb into trees and get figs. We would do all kinds of things just to make ends meet. So that's what Ruth was doing. Ruth was in the field, and Naomi was still out of position at home. But Ruth got herself in position to be seen. And once that happens, as we go through this book, you'll see generosity begins to flow because Ruth got herself in position. The same thing with the woman that's hemorrhaging that we read this morning. She's been out of position, and it's not her fault. She has a disease, but she's been out of position because this disease had made her unclean, and the rest of the community didn't want anything to do with her. So she was shunned by the community. She was intentionally left out of position. But then she heard about Jesus. If you remember the read, all she did was she heard the name Jesus. That's all she heard. She didn't have any background. She didn't know where he came from, what he did. She heard the name Jesus, and she decided to get herself in position. And she did. She got herself in position and reached out and touched his clothing. And she was healed. If she would have stayed out of position, she never would have been healed. But she got herself into position, and her life changed, just like Ruth's life is going to change, we're going to read. And I think that's the same thing for you and I. God is calling us to get in position. And one of the only ways I know about how to get in position is we talked about it, or we sang about it. We sought God, and God heard us. I seek God through prayer. Prayer. Prayer helps me get in position, helps me get spiritually in position, helps me get emotionally in position, helps me get mentally in position for all the things that I have to do in my life, not just my work life, but with my friends and with my family. Prayer helps me get in position. And as I pray and I seek to be in position, I don't always make the right call. I don't always make the right call. But seeking to be in position puts me in a place where I can see everything a little bit more clearly, and I get a chance. I get a chance to make the right call. Well, I want to share a story with you this morning of a young family who was seeking to find, to be in position with their daughter, a place for their daughter, a place for their daughter to be welcomed in, a place for their daughter to find community, a place for their daughter to be in position so that she would know Jesus, that she would know, come to know Jesus even more. So here's their story.
I grew up going to Prince of Peace since I was about 8 years old. We came back once we settled down.
We're a pretty busy family. Our kids aren't old enough to be in a ton of activities yet, but we like to get out. We are lake people. We like to spend time at the cabin with our friends and family.
We were so excited when we were finding out we were going to be able to have another baby to give our oldest daughter a sibling. When Lucy was born, she had some really rare anomalies, such as a bunch of different heart defects, blindness in one of her eyes, very small head measurements, like microcephaly. And we actually had Lucy baptized at Prince of Peace. And I remember that it was the next day that the doctors called us. She was diagnosed with CTNNB1 syndrome, which is a very rare neurodevelopmental disorder. I remember when the nurse called me, she said, most kids with this syndrome never walk, never talk, and never live independently.
Probably the hardest news I've ever received in my life.
There's constant reminders everywhere in our lives of everything Lucy can't do. And it brings up constant questioning of, will she be accepted? Will she belong? So we signed Lucy up for 3 different summer camps at Prince of Peace this summer.
When she first came in here, she just gave me the biggest smile. And I'm like, oh girl.
The staff just at those little week-long camps were so welcoming of her and welcoming of the nanny. Didn't ask too many questions or make it difficult to have her join to give Lucy what she needs.
Everybody that was on staff that week just fell in love with her. And we even reached out afterwards just asking, like, when is Lucy coming back?
After Lucy attended the 3 camps, we wanted to kind of try it out to see how she would do.
It was the first time we really felt that proactiveness with someone else being an advocate for our kid, not us having to fight for them.
Coming from previous experiences where she was not welcomed or made it feel like she was too difficult, Prince of Peace stepping up that way, I just thought, you know, this is the way a church is supposed to be, welcoming and loving of everyone, especially the most vulnerable.
We're not just a preschool, we're a community, and that's the feel that we love to portray here, but we accept all kids because we just believe that all kids are gifts from God.
It meant the world to us that she reached out to us specifically.
She's just joy. Like, that's how I could describe Lucy. She's joy.
It just makes the biggest difference in the world if there's a place that can do that for families.
I've been around Prince of Peace for, a long time, not as long as some of you guys. But I came in 1996, and that mom was in my youth group. And one of the things that we're trying to do here at Prince of Peace through this capital campaign is preserve this. Because Prince of Peace is a place that has said yes over and over and over again. You have said yes. You have said yes, 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 in ways that you can never even imagine. But because of you and your generosity, we're able to be a place for Lucy. We're able to be in position as an organization. Now, right, if you've been here for a long time, we're trying to be in position. We don't always get the right call, but at least we're in position for Lucy and so many people like Lucy and all the other kiddos out there and all the other young adults and all the other older folks, my age, even older. We get to be in position. And that's what we want to preserve. That's what we want to preserve. Preserve, open, and plant. We want to preserve that kind of stance in the world. And Prince of Peace is able to do it because you are able to do it. People ask me all the time, hey, how's Prince of Peace? What's going on there? And I said, this is a group of faithful people. So 2 things I'm going to ask for you to do is, if you're not already doing it, to begin doing some daily prayer for your own self, for your own life. It doesn't have to be a long, full-on 2 hours of prayer. Maybe if you do that, that's great too. It could be anything from a 3 minute to a 5 minute to a whatever minute prayer. God, what is your will for my life right now? What is your will for my life right now? It might not have been the same thing yesterday or might not be the same thing tomorrow, but what is your will for me right now? And then seek to do that. Get yourself in position. And then I ask that you pray for Prince of Peace. Pray that we would be a congregation that leads with yes, a congregation that continues to put ourselves in the best position we possibly can so we can make the right calls. Not because they're easy, not because they make us feel good, but because they're the right thing to do as we reach out into the community to welcome all people. Not just people that believe the same thing we believe, or not just the people that will come to our whatever we want. We all means all people. And that's the stance, that's the position that God is calling us to be.